Welcome to the Daily Radio Bible. The day is Tuesday, August the 1st, day 213 in our journey through the Bible. Hello to everyone out there. My name is Hunter, and we are doing what we do every day. We're taking a little time in God's Word. We're letting God's Word take a little time on us. And oh, how we need that, no doubt about that. Well, today, once again, I am coming to you from the third floor of the admin building here in Zarephath, New Jersey, right smack dab here in the Garden State, and what a beautiful state it is. Hey guys, yesterday I made a mistake and I read the wrong day's readings. A few of you reached out to me and let me know, hey, I was hoping for John chapter 2, and we jumped right on to John chapter 3. Well, I want to try and make things right by you, and today we're going to go back and read what should have been read yesterday, today. So today's reading is going to be Isaiah 63 and 64, Psalm 107, and John chapter 2. We are reading through the New Living Translation. Let's jump right in. Isaiah 63. Who is this who comes from Edom, from the city of Bozrah, with his clothing stained red? Who is this in royal robes, marching in his great strength? It is I, the Lord, announcing your salvation. It is I, the Lord, who has the power to save. Why are your clothes so red, as if you've been treading out grapes? I have been treading the winepress alone. No one was there to help me. In my anger, I have trampled my enemies as if they were grapes. In my fury, I have trampled my foes. Their blood has stained my clothes. For the time has come for me to avenge my people, to ransom them from their oppressors. I was amazed to see that no one intervened to help the oppressed, so I myself stepped in to save them with my strong arm, and my wrath sustained me. I crushed the nations in my anger and made them stagger and fall to the ground, spilling their blood upon the earth. I will tell of the Lord's unfailing love. I will praise the Lord for all he has done. I will rejoice in his great goodness to Israel, which he has granted according to his mercy and love. He said, they are my very own people. Surely they will not betray me again. And he became their savior. In all their suffering, he also suffered, and he personally rescued them. In his love and mercy, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them through all the years. But they rebelled against him and grieved his Holy Spirit. So he became their enemy and fought against them. Then they remembered those old days when Moses led their people out of Egypt. They cried out, where is the one who brought Israel through the sea with Moses as their shepherd? Where is the one who sent him his Holy Spirit to be among his people? Where is the one whose power was displayed when Moses lifted up his hand? The one who divided the sea before them, making himself famous forever? Where is the one who led them through the bottom of the sea? They were like fine stallions racing through the desert, never stumbling. As with cattle going down into a peaceful valley, the Spirit of the Lord gave them rest. You led your people, Lord, and gained a magnificent reputation. Lord, look down from heaven. Look from your holy, glorious home and see us. Where is the passion and might you used to show on our behalf? Where are your mercy and compassion now? Surely you are still our father. Even if Abraham and Jacob would disown us, Lord, you would still be our father. You are our redeemer from ages past. Lord, why have you allowed us to turn from your path? Why have you given us stubborn hearts so we no longer fear you? Return and help us, for we are your servants, the tribes that are your special possession. How briefly your Holy Spirit possessed your holy place, and now our enemies have destroyed it. Sometimes it seems as though we never belonged to you, as though we had never been known as your people. Isaiah 64. Oh, that you would burst from the heavens and come down! How the mountains would quake in your presence! As fire causes wood to burn and water to boil, your coming would make the nations tremble. Then your enemies would learn the lesson from your fame. When you came down long ago, you did awesome deeds beyond our highest expectations. Oh, how the mountains quaked. For since the world began, no ear had heard, nor eye had seen a God like you, who works for those who wait for him. You welcome those who gladly do good, who follow godly ways. But you have been angry with us, for we have not been godly. We are constant sinners. How can people like us be saved? We are all infected and impure with sin. When we display our righteous deeds, they are nothing but filthy rags. Like autumn leaves, we wither and fall, and our sins sweep us away like the wind. Yet no one calls on your name or pleads with you for mercy. Therefore, you have turned away from us and turned us over to our sins. And yet, O Father, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are the potter. We are all formed by your hand. Don't be so angry with us, Lord. Please don't remember our sins forever. Look at us. We pray and see that we are all your people. Your holy cities are destroyed. Zion is a wilderness. Yes, Jerusalem is a desolate ruin. The holy and beautiful temple where our ancestors praised you has been burned down, and all the things of beauty are destroyed. After all this, Lord, must you still refuse to help us? Will you continue to be silent and punish us? Psalm 107. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out. Tell others he has redeemed you from your enemies. For he has gathered exiles from many lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in the wilderness, lost and homeless, hungry and thirsty. They nearly died. Lord, help, they cried in their trouble. And he rescued them from their distress. He led them straight to safety, to a city where they could live. Let them praise the Lord for his great love and for the wonderful things he's done for them. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Some sat in darkness and deepest gloom, imprisoned in iron chains of misery. They rebelled against the words of God, scorning the counsel of the Most High. That is why he broke them with hard labor. They fell, and no one was there to help them. Lord, help, they cried in their trouble. And he saved them from their distress. He led them from the darkest and deepest gloom. He snapped their chains. Let them praise the Lord for his great love and for the wonderful things he's done for them. For he broke down their prison gates of bronze and cut apart their bars of iron. Some were fools. They rebelled and suffered for their sins. They couldn't stand the thought of food. And they were knocking on death's door. Lord, help, they cried in their trouble. And he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them, snatching them from the door of death. Let them praise the Lord for his great love and for the wonderful things he's done for them. Let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and sing joyfully about his glorious acts. Some went off to sea in ships, plying the trade routes of the world. They too observed the Lord's power in action, his impressive works on the deepest seas. He spoke and the winds rose, stirring up the waves. Their ships were tossed to the heavens and plunged down again to the depths. The sailors cringed in terror. They reeled and staggered like drunkards and were at their wits' end. Lord, help, they cried. And in their trouble, he saved them from their distress. He calmed the storm to a whisper and stilled the waves. What a blessing was that stillness as he brought them safely into harbor. Let them praise the Lord for his great love and for the wonderful things he has done for them. Let them exalt him publicly before the congregation and before the leaders of the nation. He changes rivers into deserts and springs of water into dry, thirsty land. He turns the fruitful land into salty wastelands because of the wickedness of those who live there. But he also turns deserts into pools of water and dry land into springs of water. He brings the hungry to settle there and to build their cities. They sow their fields, plant their vineyards, harvest their bumper crops. How he blesses them! They raise large families there, and their herds of livestock increase. When they decrease in number and become impoverished through oppression, trouble, and sorrow, the Lord pours contempt on their princes, causing them to wander in trackless wastelands. But he rescues the poor from trouble and increases their families like flocks of sheep. The godly will see these things and be glad, while the wicked are struck silent. Those who are wise will take all this to heart. they will see in our history the faithful love of the Lord. John chapter 2, the wedding at Cana. The next day, there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. The wine supply ran out during the festivities, so Jesus' mother told him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, that's not our problem," Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." But his mother told the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Standing nearby were 6 stone water jars used for Jewish ceremonial washing. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told the servants, "Fill the jars with water." When the jars had been filled, he said, "Dip out some and take it to the master of ceremonies." So the servant followed his instructions. When the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, though of course the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over. "A host always serves the best wine first," he said. "Then, when everyone has had a lot to drink, he brings out the less expensive wine. But you have kept the best till now." This miraculous sign at Cana in Galilee was the first time Jesus revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After the wedding, he went to Capernaum for a few days with his mother, his brothers, and his disciples. It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration, so Jesus went to Jerusalem. In the temple area, he saw merchants selling cattle, sheep, and doves for sacrifices. He also saw dealers at tables exchanging foreign money. Jesus made a whip from some ropes and chased them all out of the temple. He drove out the sheep and cattle, scattered the money changers' coins over the floor, turned over their tables. Then going over to the people who sold doves, he told them, "Get these things out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a marketplace." Then his disciples remembered this prophecy from the scriptures, "Passion for God's house will consume me." But the Jewish leaders demanded, "What are you doing? If God gave you authority to do this, show us a miraculous sign to prove it." "All right," Jesus replied, "destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up." "What?" they exclaimed. "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you can rebuild it in 3 days. But when Jesus said this temple, he meant his own body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered he had said this, and they believed both the scriptures and what Jesus had said. Because of the miraculous signs Jesus did in Jerusalem at the Passover celebration, many began to trust in him. But Jesus didn't trust them, because he knew all about people. No one needed to tell him about human nature, for he knew what was in each person's heart. And now may the one who knows our hearts give his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. He's not surprised. He already knows. You don't need to tell him. It may do you good to tell him. It probably will. But it's not that you're telling him something that he doesn't already know, because he does know. He knows what is in your heart. John would learn this about Jesus. He would learn that Jesus knew everything that was in his heart. Verse 25 says that no one needed to tell him about human nature, for he knew what was in each person's heart. Now, that could be a terrifying thought, to have our hearts, our selfish hearts, lustful, prideful, humiliated, broken hearts exposed to anyone, let alone God, could be the most terrifying thing imaginable. But somehow, with Jesus, it's different. Somehow, the reality of our hearts being exposed to him is something you won't be undone by. With him, rather, it's the complete opposite. When we recognize that he knows us just the way we are, and He loves us just the same, well, that is the most transformative thing imaginable. We are not undone. Instead, we are made new. He knows. He's not surprised by your heart. In fact, when you learn, as John did, that He knows and He loves, well, that's the beginning of God creating something new in you, a new heart, renovating your heart with something truly amazing. May God convince us more and more, friend. May He convince us more and more that He does know and that He does love. And may that create something altogether new in us. That's a prayer that I have for my own heart today. That's a prayer that I have for my own family, for my wife, my daughters, my son. That's a prayer I have for you. May it be so. Well, dailyradiobible.com, that's our home base out here in the interwebs, and it is always such a blessing to hear from you, to find out a little bit about you, who you are, where you're from, how you stumbled upon the podcast. So next time you got a moment, how about letting a brother know? Speaking of that, I want to send a shout out to Rod and Donna Black. Do you know, Rod and Donna, that it was this year, or a year ago, today, this week, when we were in the mountains of North Carolina, and what a time that was, at the reunion for the missionaries to Pakistan? Man, really enjoyed that time. The memory of it, yesterday and today, made me smile. Love you guys. You guys be blessed. Hey, I also want to send a shout out to Trevor Kimsey. Trevor, my brother. Trevor just completed 1 year in the Bible on the DRB. Way to go, Trevor, and what an honor it is to be on the road with you, my friend. Congratulations, and may God continue to convince us that He knows and He loves each and every day as we come to Him in His Word. Well, hey, my friends, whether you've spent one day or every day this last year in the Word, I got to tell you, I find such joy spending time with you each day in the Bible. It really is an honor and a privilege. And before I let you go, I want to let you know that I would love for you to share this ministry with your friends. Share the app. We've made it so simple. All you got to do is click on the link that says share the app on the app, and you can pass it on to your friends. Another favor I'll ask of you is, will you go to our Facebook page and like our Facebook page? Then go a second mile and share our posts on your Facebook wall. All you have to do is click that link there at the bottom of our post that says share, and there you have it. You've shared. And last of all, if you would like to go to iTunes and Google Play and offer us up a review, will you subscribe, rate, and review to the Daily Radio Bible Podcast? That is such a huge help in helping other people find this podcast. Well, that's it. That's all I got for you. We've done it again. We've spent another day in the Bible. And I plan on being back here again tomorrow to do the same thing. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, I fully intend to be here. Until that time, let's go forward in God's joy. Let's let His joy be our strength. And let's remember this, that you are loved. No doubt about it. Alrighty, I'll talk to you again tomorrow. You take care. Bye-bye.